Oh, hi. Welcome to Kayla the Podcast, a whole new podcast brought to you by me, which I can't wait to share with you. I've taken so much time while I've been absent to rebrand the podcast, restructure the podcast, and I will be re-explaining what the podcast means to me in today's episode, and I can't wait to reconnect with all of you. You can expect so much personal on this podcast, lots of travel, lots of business, lots of topics, debating, interesting guests. I cannot wait to restart on a fresh page with all of you, and I really hope you enjoy the changes coming your way with this podcast. Hope to see you back here every Monday. Thing on. I think it's on. Hi, everyone. Welcome to my new podcast. Welcome back to Kayla, the podcast. I'm so excited to get into it today with you guys. I had posted to my story a couple of days back that I was down to do a Q&A because I pronounced that really weird because it had been so long since I did one, like a voiceover Q&A, and I always prefer doing these on the podcast since Instagram, I feel it just gets really long on stories. You know what I mean? So we're going to start today straight away going into the Q&A. I have all the questions written down and I'm really excited to get into it. Now, I had to stop at Starbucks this morning because I ran out of my matcha powder, which really pisses me off and never hits the same. But I did go to Starbucks and I got a Christmas cup and I got a matcha latte with almond milk with one pump of their chestnut praline because why not? I feel like I've been drinking so many fun drinks recently, but it's fine because I'm very big on like sugar content, like not consuming too much sugar because I just don't like to think about the effects of sugar on the brain. But whatever, girl, balance. And I'm going to go to Hot Bar later and sweat it out. Not that I need to, but just because it's not good to consume so much sugar. And, you know, I had a matcha yesterday too with like brown sugar in it and like, I don't know, just drinking sugar. Stop that. But listen, it's the holiday season already. It's currently snowing in Montreal. I don't know if anyone saw that this morning, but Q&A time. I got some really good questions. I chose 14 of them to talk to you guys all about. And my plan is to elaborate on these and have a pretty long episode where we talk and we get into conversation because short Q&As suck. We love a good long answer question. I want this episode to be really natural and like I'm having a conversation with you in my car or in my living room. So the first question is, what's your advice? What's your favorite advice to becoming a successful entrepreneur? Love this one. I feel like I could take advice on this as well, but from what I've experienced so far, I will share my advice. But before I answer this question, I just want you guys all to know that we live in a generation where everyone is an entrepreneur and everyone is like showcasing their lives on social media. And whether you're trying to be extremely transparent on there or not, like some people are so raw and so genuine and so transparent. I try to be as transparent as I can in my own way, but which I'll get into. But I just want to preface by saying that we are in a generation currently where everyone looks like the most successful entrepreneur. And I just want to be super clear with you guys that I'm currently in a place where things have been a lot worse for me. Things have been better for me. You know what I mean? And that's the beauty about being an entrepreneur. Like, you're never really in your best place because, and when you are in a good place, you don't even know you're in a good place because you're just constantly kind of like criticizing and judging yourself and wishing for more. And I get a lot of comments from people, like even when I see people in person, they're like, oh my God, like you do so much. Like, how do you juggle all this? I'm like, I don't know. I'm a hot mess right now. I'm just trying to go day by day. I'm trying to get it together. I'm trying to make it before 30 like everybody else. And yeah, so that's just basically my spiel on that. So if you ever look up to an entrepreneur online, I'm not saying they're a liar, they suck. I'm just saying that take everything you see online with a grain of salt because you never really know what someone is going through behind the scenes. And although someone is killing it online or appears to be killing it online, I'm sure they are, but they probably don't always feel that way. You know what I mean? But this person asked a great question and it's not this person's fault. And this person should have asked this question and I'm very happy to give advice. So my best advice to becoming a successful entrepreneur since like I've been, how can I say this? Based on the success that I've reached so far is staying consistent. That is one thing that, you know, I was actually on TikTok the other day and I was watching a video, all the zodiac signs and what I hate about their sign. Obviously Aries, which I am, is the first sign of the zodiac. And she's like, ugh, Aries are so inconsistent. And I do agree. I'll speak for myself, fellow Aries out there. I don't want to insult anyone because God knows we get butthurt. But I feel like at times I could be very inconsistent in relationships, very inconsistent in my feelings and my work, and what I promise people. And it's really something I've been working on. I see a therapist, well, sort of therapist, like in my naturopathy school, and we touch on that. And I think I spoke about that in episode one. And I talked to her about like the inconsistencies in my life and all that, the whole shebang, like just everything about being an Aries. And plus like I'm Aries, Cancer. So I'm also very emotional. So just not really a good mix. And you know how Cancers like victimize themselves? Like that's also me. So sips tea. Hold on. Yeah. So being consistent, back to what I was saying, rule of thumb, like biggest advice when becoming an entrepreneur, and also having a game plan and sticking to it. I feel like I've spoken about this so much on the Morning Blend. Never forget your purpose. Write it on your wall, write it down, whatever you start with, whatever your goal was when you began your business, print it on your wall, write it down in your notes and refer back to it when like all the changes of the world and the different seasons of life like make you feel like you're changing. And I've had so many of those moments where all of a sudden, okay, I'm a health coach. And oh, wait, now I'm an influencer. Okay, wait, now I'm a Revolve Gallery. Okay, wait, now I'm a Pilates instructor. And I always have to come down to like my purpose and sit with myself and say, okay, in order to feel purposeful, why did you start this? Because being an influencer can feel so vain at times. And that is a whole other topic that we'll get into. But at the end of the day, I can't forget that I started a business for a reason. And it led me to all of these opportunities, which you should never say no to. But you need to remember your sole purpose in order to stay consistent and achieve success. I don't know if you guys know what I mean. But that is my biggest advice. Knowing your purpose when you start your business and no matter what opportunities come your way, referring back to your purpose, but also staying extremely consistent in what you do. So if your job, let's say you start a candle business. There's a candle right next to me, so I got that idea. Let's say you start a candle business and, you know, you're on TikTok all of a sudden and, like, you're really cute and you're popping off. And, like, yeah, you make candles, but you also create morning routines where you light your candles and people become obsessed with you and they're into that. And then, oh, all of a sudden, like, you're, like, working with a brand and, oh, wait, now Steve Madden is sending you shoes. And you know what I mean? Like the typical influencer things. Like, brands are reaching out to you. Like, you're doing a bedding ad. Like, you know, Chamberlain Coffee sends you their matcha, like the regular influencer thing. You're probably going to look back and be like, what about my candles? Like, what happened to that? You know, and they don't have to go. You could still produce and make your candles. And actually, your social media will help you sell your candles because people are going to want to be like you. They're going to want to mimic your lifestyle, which is like the whole essence of influencer marketing, essentially. And you just have to remember, at the end of the day, when like you don't feel like going in to make your wax candles or whatever it is, remember your purpose. Remember why you started that, because you're going to wake up many mornings and be like, okay, I don't even know who I am anymore. I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. So always fall back on your purpose and stay consistent. So that is my long rant on successful entrepreneurial advice. I see so much more advice to give, whether it be financial, emotional, whatever, but that is what came to me first. Second question, how old are you? I'm 24 now. I feel so old. But yeah, I'm 24 now. Are you political at all? Do you vote in the Canadian election? I wouldn't say I'm political. I feel like political is kind of like an aggressive adjective. I'm not political. Would I say I stay on top of politics as I do in the media? No. And that is something that is wrong of me. I should be more involved and more informed in politics. I don't know. I feel like political views are very hard to discuss. I did share political views actually during COVID, like my little political view. And like, I, like someone DM'd me like super rudely saying like, everyone does follows you for like your wellness tips, like not your political views. And I, because the person didn't agree with my political views. And at the time it was like how like the province was handling COVID. And it kind of like hurt me. And I was like, oh, like I'm so much more than like my morning routines. But at the end of the day, I know that politics is very, very touchy. Not world catastrophes. Like when it comes to like what's happening in Iran right now, different movements, obviously what was happening in the Ukraine and Ukraine. I keep saying the Ukraine, but it's Ukraine. Someone corrected me on that and it was noted. Like those are obviously political issues, but they're also like crises. So obviously there's more to say on those on a daily basis, if you know what I mean. But when it comes to the Conservative Party versus the Liberal Party, sharing that on my social media on a daily basis. But I do know people that do, and I do know people that are very involved, and that's amazing. I think that is like a great passion to have, and it's also very unique these days. You don't really see much young people in that political sector. Do I vote at the Canadian elections? Yes, I do. I think it's really important to play your part and vote. I have always voted. My parents have always told me to, because even though you feel, especially this day and age, I feel like everything is so public and you kind of just feel like a micro ant in the world, and like your opinion won't matter, but it will, you know, that one vote will make a difference. So not to sound like a campaign ad, but you should vote whether you're Canadian. I know the American elections just passed, but whether you're Canadian or American, wherever you're from, European, vote, because your opinion does matter. And if you are of age to vote, you are the next generation. So you will shape your country. You will shape your political party. And yeah, so that's my take on politics. Come back next time for more on the Conservative Party. I'm kidding. So how did you grow your brand and more about your education? Okay, so great question. Love this one. So how did I grow my brand? So my brand essentially is me. I have this conversation with myself every second day. I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, what do you do and what is your purpose? Because I just want to like realign and check myself and bring myself back down to earth. And my brand is me. So I am the brand essentially. And I don't really sell a product. I sell a service, yes, but on a very micro level at this point. It's not my main thing anymore because I'm getting into so many other things, which I touched on in episode one. And my brand essentially is me, like my lifestyle, what I do, how I maintain my life. The things I post online are kind of like my portfolio. I show everyone what I do. And from there, I drive income. It's through health coaching, which is a minor portion of that, but mainly through influencer marketing, which is my main my main business right now. And then once I finish up, I'll be getting into Pilates and opening up a movement aspect to my blog, Be Well with Kayla, which you could subscribe to through the link in bio on my Instagram. So that is my brand, just to kind of give you guys some insight. And how did I grow the brand? So when I first came to be on Instagram, I started a page called Be Well with Kayla. I'm sure you all know this by now. I think I've repeated this 1,000 times, but for those who don't, I'm happy to repeat it for you. I started a page called Be Well with Kayla just to advertise and promote healthy living. So I started a blog initially, but it was just so hard to maintain. And kudos to anyone who does have a blog, because it's very hard to maintain, very difficult to keep up. And what's crazy about blog content is that you're really just like creating it out of nothing. Like you have to strategize, you have to create it. It takes a very long time to even know who's even listening, who's even watching, who's even reading the blog. And it's also hard to make income. Obviously these days with, like I said, influencer marketing, affiliate programs, it's easier to generate income like through linked products and all that. But still, for that income to be making you a living, you better be selling a lot. And it's usually like a 10% commission, 20 if the brand is very generous. So I started a blog. Long story short, it was very hard to maintain. And then I just kind of carried through on Instagram, showcasing my life. This was all throughout COVID and like through peak pandemic, like lockdown, restaurants were closed and everything. And at the time, like looking back, I was doing so good, but I literally would look at myself every day and feel like I was irrelevant. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just taking on health coaching clients, and in between, I was like randomly posting on Instagram, and it was doing really well. And then I was like at the 5K mark around, and I was like making my way to like 7K just by like user generated content. Like reels weren't even a thing at the time. And then I've always had a passion for editing videos, like I've mentioned in previous podcast episodes. So when reels came out, I was kind of skeptical. I didn't hop on it right away. But within like the first 3 or 4 months that reels came to be, I hopped on that. So that was last November. That was like a year ago. And it was really around this time last year that I hit 10K. So I hit 10K. And then as of 10K, I really started staying consistent with reels. And in a matter of like days, I totally blew up. Like the account went nuts and I grew so much. And yeah, that's great. But how do you maintain those followers? You know what I mean? So I had to keep up that like strategy, that consistency, if I wanted to maintain these followers and make a living out of that. And sharing with you guys on Instagram in my own unique way is literally one of my greatest passions. I absolutely love being on Instagram. It's always been my thing. And I just had to find how to do it in my own way. And the beauty of having your own brand on socials is that you have your own way of doing things. You know, like I follow influencers who post on stories all day long and who talk to their camera all day long. And honestly, I love it. Like I listen to their stuff and I'm like in the car to work and I'm like, I prefer listening to that over a podcast, but it's just not achievable for me right now, especially because I don't live alone. I can't just wake up, make a matcha, sit on my couch and talk to my camera. You know what I mean? Maybe one day I will, but everyone has their unique way of connecting with their audience at like different times of their lives. And finding my way in at different stages of my life is really like what I enjoy doing. So that is essentially my brand. So the brand is me, the brand has evolved, and I got started through Be Well with Kayla, which eventually became just my name, Kayla Pomponio, because I felt like Be Well with Kayla was really limiting me to just wellness content when honestly, I'm so much more than that. And I'm going to have a whole episode on the transition between Be Well with Kayla to just myself and how that came to be. And it has a lot to do with food freedom and, you know, my relationship with food, my relationship with wellness, my relationship with myself, honestly. And I can't wait to talk about that. So we're going to talk about that in a separate episode, hopefully coming in the next few. So more about your education now. So when I got started, I had just finished university. Yes, I went to university. A lot of people ask me this question. I went to the University of Montreal. I was in a very random program compared to what I was doing, to what I'm doing now. I was in criminology, and I finished up criminology, which I loved, but I just felt lost. I felt very trapped, very lost. I knew that I didn't want to carry on with that. So after I graduated my undergrad, I went on to do IIN, which is the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, based out of New York. It's the online course. I'm sure you've heard about it online. Lots of people have done it since the pandemic, and it's really a great course just to tap into yourself. And if you want to join IIN, this is not an ad, but you could definitely use my reference code, which is my full name, Kayla Pomponio, to get money off of your tuition. I think you get like $2,000 off your tuition, which is insane. And it's an amazing course. You could take it for a year or you could take it for 6 months. And I did it in 6 months because I really wanted to start coaching. I wanted to start helping people. And helping people is another one of my passions. Like I love helping people with their diets and, you know, guiding people with nutrition and talking to them about my personal journey and how they could grow from there. So I started that and I did the 6 month course and then I did the hormone course and then I signed up for naturopathy school, which I'm currently still in, which has been an extreme challenge for me, much more difficult than IIN. IIN was a very like not easy breezy, but it was a light program. You know, you could have definitely done it on the side and passed the exams fairly easily if you're paying attention to the material being taught during the lectures. But this is like a whole new ball game. So I'm currently doing that as well, just to add on to my like portfolio, like I keep saying, and like my career path. And maybe one day, when I have children and like I'm no longer in the space to want to film myself every day. Maybe that will be my main source of income. You know, I really just want to plan for the future, and I want to have as many things under my belt as possible, which I know is a toxic trait as well. I'm aware of it. You're probably listening to this and saying, this girl is crazy, but I just want to do as much as I can. Anyways, so that was my education. And then after that, I went on to Stop Pilates. So I just wrapped up my Reformer Pilates course, which is so technical, you guys. If ever you think Pilates is a joke, it's not. It's so hard, okay? You have to learn so much anatomy, which I'm also learning in my naturopathy course. So that makes sense. And now I'm going on to mat Pilates, which I'm really excited to get into. So that is the gist on my education. That is all. So what is some advice to grow IG and your blog? Okay, so if you're trying to grow, what I can grab from this question is that this person is trying to grow their Instagram and their blog, I guess. So my advice to grow my Instagram, growing Instagram, you guys, it's not easy. It's hard, but the formula is very simple. You need to be consistent. It's just what it is. And I remember when I first started, when I committed to social media and I was like, I gotta make this pop, I was like, I'm gonna just make people sick of me. Like, you're just gonna see me on your page all the time. Like, the more you post, the more the algorithm will love you. And when I mean post, I don't mean spam stories. I mean post, create reviews, use reels. Yeah, post a story. Everything in moderation, you know, use all of the Instagram, all that Instagram has to offer, okay? And also think of the type of content you consume. Personally, I really enjoy video content. I could scroll on TikTok all day long, guilty. So create that type of content that you like to digest. Like, we are all consumers. There's someone like you times a million out there, you know? So if you're that type of girl that really enjoys watching morning routines, and you watch girls in New York wake up, do their skincare and go to Pilates and, you know, make their white cloud bed and then, you know, go get a coffee at Alfred's in LA all of a sudden, you know, like that's niche, you know? So create that same type of content and be consistent, like one video a week minimum, you know? And I would even say if that video didn't go viral, do one video a day. And at one point I was like pumping out content, like one video a day. And like, I still have weeks where like I'm freaking on, like I have 5 reels going up, and then I have 1 week where like I only put one out or two, and that's fine because you have to give the algorithm a rest. But if you're just starting out, content, pump the content out, like you can do it. So and it's much easier to grow these days on socials than it was back in the day. I remember when like everyone was starting to get into YouTube and stuff, like growing on YouTube was so hard. But this is like a whole different algorithm, you guys. You could do it. Just stay consistent and create content of value. Those are my tips for growing an IG. And then as for your blogs, but what I can say is that you're probably going to need an SEO because you need your website to pop up on Google right away. Also, you're probably going to need a really good social media, because social media these days is what's going to drag your followers to the blog and will allow you to monetize. So working on social media seems childish, seems stupid, but it's the smartest thing you could do for your brand in this day and age, because that is how you monetize. Equipment and software to film your videos. Absolutely none, actually. I use a simple tripod from Amazon, which I got for $25, I think, maybe even less. And I have a portable one and like a more stationary one that's like very like large that I use for my reels. And then I bring the portable one with me when I travel, and it's like good for food as well, for shooting food or drinks or whatever. And I use my iPhone, and my iPhone is the iPhone 12 Pro or whatever, Max. And I have no idea. It's not even the new one. It's not the even like second to newest one. It's like the 12. Like, it came out like 3 years ago, and honestly, it's fine. So you don't need like all the luxury content to shoot videos. Obviously, if you have access to that and like you have a ring light and like you have all this camera footage and you have your own place and you have this like whole area to set it up, like kudos to you. But I just keep things simple, and maybe eventually when I have a greater budget, I'll expand. But for now, it's working. Any tips and tricks when you get sick? Good question. I actually chose this one because it's very generic, but I wanted to talk about something. So I was on Instagram yesterday and I saw this mom blogger, won't name her, but I love her. She's so cool. And actually, fun fact, I went to New York recently and I walked into Cipriani and I saw her. And I saw her with her two other sisters, and I was like, hello, I love you guys. I was literally in the car talking to people about how they're just having a reality TV show. It's coming out. And I walk into Cipriani and they're there. And I'm like, this is too good to be true. And they are gorgeous. So I see one of the sisters posting yesterday. Hold on. Posting yesterday about the fact that she has a cold. And you could tell, like, she's in a space where she really cares about her physique and the way she's looking. And, you know, they have a new reality TV show. And I think she's recently single or whatever. She cares, you know? And she's, like, freaking out. Like, oh, my God. Like, I have a cold. I woke up with a cold. I'm making a vegetable soup. I'm making a turmeric shot. I'm making a turmeric latte. I'm making a turmeric this. I'm making a ginger that. Any tips to, like, any hacks, like, kick a cold? Any hacks? And it's, like, I want to answer, like, no. There are no hacks, guys. Like, there are no hacks. Like, let's just all calm down. Like, when we get a cold, go to bed, take a shower, drink some water, eat a pizza, and then eat a soup after to, like, balance out the pizza. And then take your vitamins. Like, there's nothing you can do. And, like, I think that it's such a bad... Obviously, there are things you could do. But in reality, even when you call your doctor and you're hyperventilating, your doctor will tell you, like, take a Tylenol every 4 hours. And, like, that's not wrong, you know? Like, there's nothing you can really do. Wellness and holistic living and all that will help you prevent colds, will help you prevent, build up your immune system, you know? So when you're in a state of, let's say, stress, or let's say, like, even anxiety can, like, weaken your immune system. And then that's how people get sick, you know what I mean? Fatigue, especially. A well-rounded routine, working out daily, eating super well, taking your vitamins, sleeping properly, that is essential. Will help you build up an immune system in order not to get sick frequently. But when you do get sick, like the average Joe, when you do get a cold, or even if you have COVID, let's say you have the flu, it's flu season, right? All there is to do is rest up and take care of yourself. And you having a pizza while you're sick won't delay the healing process. Like, your body is infected. Your body needs to heal. And I feel like these days in general, we, like, need a hack to everything. And it's like, no, guys, like, getting a cold, getting sick is usually the universe's sign to slow down. I remember when I got COVID last year, I was, like, in shock that, like, I had to stay home for 10 days. I'm like, this cannot be normal. I'm like, I'm gonna go crazy, like, with yourself. And I realized that that was the universe's sign, like, telling me, like, slow down, like, just relax, like, take a break, you know? And sometimes you got to be grateful. So that is my trick to... my hack when having a cold: take your vitamins. Turmeric, yes, we love it. We love ginger. We love manuka honey. It's so good for the throat. Really, really good. So many benefits. We love lemon water. Really, really good. Antioxidants. I love it. But sleep, take a bath, eat some comfort food. It's going to be all good. What are your thoughts on Rode Beauty? Oh my God, I love this question. I'm really happy that someone asked me. So basically, I ordered Rode Beauty when it first came out, and I got it shipped to Florida because she doesn't ship to Canada, which I still find very sketch, especially since Justin is Canadian. Also, Canada is not a third world country. How do you not ship to Canada? I'm in shock. So I ordered Rode Beauty. I didn't try the skincare, I'm going to be honest, because I have acne-prone skin, and I saw so many reviews online that it's not good for acne-prone skin, and I didn't try it. So I can't really give you the skincare review, but what I can tell you about the lip thing, it's good. I just find that you really need to squeeze that thing to get the product out, and it does last pretty long. It's not like a fast, like, oh, I use it twice and it's done. There's product in there, but I just feel like the packaging could have been a little bit better thought out. Okay. And then the last thing that I found is that you really got to reapply, because it absorbs into your lips so quickly. And I'm someone, I don't know if it's just my lips, I don't know what it is. I don't even have big lips. I don't know where the product is going, but my lips just, like, absorb so much product. And every time I was putting on the Rode Beauty lip treatment, I would, like, have it on for 5 minutes. My lips looked like Hailey Bieber's. And then I would walk two steps and it was gone. And then I had to reapply. So would I purchase it again? I don't think so. Why? Because it's not readily accessible to me. But, like, just say if it was at Sephora, maybe I would, but it's not at Sephora, so I won't actually go order it. But you cannot spend money on makeup if you're not trying out the product. I just find it so weird. And there's a huge risk that you lose money. And I'm not the type of person to, like, be refunded or, like, send it back, you know what I mean? Or ask for, like, an exchange, you know? So I just think it's really important to have makeup accessible in store, which brings me to my next question. What did you think of Selena's documentary? I saw you watched it. Love this question. So basically, I know how I feel about the documentary. I just have so many things to say about Selena. You know, when guilty. I'll say this. When Selena was going through her whole thing and, you know, we saw her perform like Lose You to Love Me and all that back in the day, I think this is like 2018, I thought her publicist and her were like, and her whole team were like just so big on making her look like a victim. And I would always roll my eyes every time I saw Selena on a red carpet, every time I saw Selena at a show or whatever it was. Not that we saw her much, but at the time I was like really keeping up with like the Kardashians and stuff. She wasn't really like on my radar. I always thought that she was like the biggest like victim, like, ugh, what a cancer, like just always crying, always victim, always this, always that. And now looking at the documentary, I understand. But I must say, I've always had more, I wouldn't say respect because that's a big word, but I've always admired Selena more than I've admired Hailey. Not that it's a competition, but I just think that Selena has done so much in her life. And I was very excited when like her documentary came out because I was like, I want to know more about this girl. And I love the fact that the documentary had little to nothing to do with Justin. She mentioned him very, very briefly. And I love that. I think that it's so important to like obviously acknowledge that this happened, but, and he was mentioned like very briefly, but you know, this is a whole story about her. There was no mention of him and Hailey, which I think didn't even deserve mention because like she has done so much in her life. Like she deserves all the praise. And another thing, I don't think it was a regular documentary about praise. I think it was like a really good portrait of what stardom is, like what being famous is all about. I really admire Selena. I love what she's done, and it was a huge eye opener on mental health and never to judge someone, and never to overlook what someone might be going through. And I actually have a conversation planned to dive into this with one of my friends coming onto the pod, one of my fellow content creator friends. I won't name her just now, but she's going to come on the pod soon. We had scheduled it for last week, but there had to be like a reschedule. Question is, can you talk more about your relationship, how you met and how you make it work? Love this question. Thank you for asking. So I'm sure you guys all know that my relationship is something that I don't post online. My boyfriend is rarely featured in any of my reels, my stories, like just very rarely. And I do that purposely. I just don't feel, how can I say? I just don't feel a need for it. It's the one thing where like the people closest to me will know that my Instagram, as much as I enjoy it, as much as it's a passion for me, it's really a job. It's really like when I shut it off, when I post my videos, when my content goes up, when like I'm done for the day, like my self-care moment isn't me on my phone posting, like me and my boyfriend. Like my self-care moment is like turning my phone, flipping it over, turning on Netflix and like cuddling. You know what I mean? And I don't want the world to see that. So as much as obviously we do so much more than just that, but it's like the one thing that's private to me. And I think that when it comes to relationships, the best thing you could do for yourself, and I've learned from experience, the best thing you could do for yourself is keep it private. And it was always something that was like given to me as advice, and I never really thought of it. I was like, what? No, that's a joke. Like, why not? Like, post all you want. And yeah, post all you want. I love that. And if ever I'm in like a posty mood with my boyfriend, I will, in appearance. But on a day-to-day, it's just something that's personal to me, and it's something that like just doesn't need the camera on it. You know what I mean? And I don't feel the need to include my relationship in my content. Like my relationship doesn't really like shape me as an individual. It's just something that's private to me. So that is why I rarely post about my boyfriend, because it's just what's personal and I really care about it. And it's the one thing that I have to myself that I don't have to put online a lot. But then again, it might just be the phase in my life, you know, maybe one day when like we move on together, maybe he'll make more an appearance on there. But for now, it's like the one thing that's personal to me, and I'm very natural with it. And I don't ever put pressure on my boyfriend to be in my stuff and relationships. And, you know, I always find that the people that are most public online, and this might be a stereotype, this doesn't come from a place of like hatred or like trying to be rude, but I just find that a lot of the people that a lot of the influencers that post their relationships online, it's a very perfect painted picture of how their relationship looks. And everyone knows that relationships are so difficult. Like obviously relationships should be easy. When you're with someone, everything should go well, and obviously there are up and downs, but it shouldn't necessarily be hard. It shouldn't be difficult. But relationships are so complex. And I just find that when you put relationships up on a platform, it's not bad, but it just gives so much room for criticism and
Back to the question on how we met. We were actually I wouldn't say mutual friends, but because we didn't have a friendship, but we were mutuals.
Like, we knew each other from people, like through people. And it was really a case of saying, you kind of come across someone and then you kind of forget about them. And even though you have an eye for someone, it might not always be perfect timing. And at the time, I believed a lot in timing, but I always thought that like timing wasn't by my side. And I was definitely at a point where I really wanted a relationship. And I think I had posted about this. I think I had spoken about this on the Morning Blend, where I kind of manifested this relationship because I was at a point where I wouldn't necessarily say I was in a good place, but I was in a place where I was ready to receive a relationship. I was really tired of being on my own. I was really tired of being single and going through like normal dating things and, you know, like entertaining useless relationships and empty relationships and like having people in my life that didn't serve me. And yeah, it was just like a case of perfect timing. The next question about my relationship is how we make it work. And that is a great question. And I think this goes back to, you know, relationships being easy, that knowing you're with the right person comes with watching things in your life play out and seeing that person and you and your relationship adapt to everything seamlessly. And obviously there's always like minor bumps in the road, but you know, just when I think about how we make it work, I'm like, we just do, you know, like it just like, I have my life, he has his, I have my work, he has his, we combine our schedules and we prioritize each other and we make time for each other and we listen to each other and, you know, we communicate and we respect what one wants in the relationship and what one doesn't want in the relationship. And like having a relationship that it's kind of like your best friends, and obviously there's so much love there, but you have equal respect for each other and it's really about you both, you know? So when it comes to how we make it work, honestly, I don't know. We just do. Yeah, that's basically the answer. Question 11 is personal goals and business goals. Love this. So personal goals, I think currently my biggest personal goal would be to really work on myself. I want to work on, how can I say this? I want to work on my delivery. Like when speaking to people, when in situations, I find that sometimes I could be a bit blunt, a bit too blunt. I have to learn to just be a bit more soft with my delivery. That's a personal goal. Very random, but it's a personal goal. And number two would be consistency. Like I said, just really managing everything. You know, on my way to the office this morning to record this episode, I was kind of thinking to myself, I'm like, yo, I really need to get myself a good agenda and like plan my life out. I just feel like my shit is so scattered recently. And I thought back to the when I was the most organized, and it's when I had a freaking Passion Planner. I wish Passion Planner sponsored me because I love that agenda. If it was sold at Indigo, which I wish it was, I would buy 7 of them and just have them like stocked up. Like I swear, I love that agenda. But I have to go buy myself an agenda today, a better agenda, because I had purchased one at the beginning of the year and it sucked so much. Okay. And I just really need to organize my life. I need to put things together, time block things. That. So that's another personal goal of mine, which ties into consistency, because the more you are organized with your time, the more you could be consistent. As for business goals right now would be to stay consistent with my platform, keep creating amazing content and cool content and content that represents me the most. And unique content too. I feel like everyone is doing the same thing nowadays. I feel like, you know, it's actually very consuming. And in the last couple of months, I must say that I haven't had the best like self-talk with myself. I feel like I've been very critical, not of myself physically, just of myself like in general. And I think it's because I've been spending a lot of time on TikTok. You know, on TikTok, all you really see are people in their perfect white apartments and like, you know, life just seems so easy. You know what I mean? And everyone like seems the same, and it makes you, no matter who you are, no matter what you have, no matter what you do, it kind of makes you compare. And then grow my Pilates practice, pass my exam,
teach mat, teach reformer, and get really busy and successful with that. So those are my goals. Another question of mine is that I think about 1,000 times is what happened with former assistant / marketing coordinator. Last time I touched on this, because I don't want to like let you guys down, because I got this question so much when I posted the question box, even though in my first question box a couple weeks ago, I had touched on it and said I wasn't talking about it again. So you guys obviously seem very invested. And I think people always think there's tea behind everything. There's no tea. The tea is that as individuals, like in a workspace and in a personal space, we had just grown apart. And, you know, I know that the come down stems, like the timeline's aggressive, because like we were just in fashion, like at Fashion Week together. We went to New York in September. And I think that people come in and out of your life for different reasons. And she came into my life at a perfect time. And we had an amazing, amazing work relationship and friendship. Like, amazing. When I think of her, I think we had an amazing friendship. And it was actually one of the friendships that I was like the most, I wouldn't say most genuine, because I'm genuine in all of my friendships, but it was one of the friendships that I cherished the most, because we were building together. We were like really working together, and we just lo and behold decided to go our separate ways because our goals currently weren't matching up. And with that came, you know, since we were very personally intertwined as well, with that came complications. And right now we're just in a place where we're doing our own things, and I wish her nothing but the best. I wish her so much well. I wish her so well. And I know it sucks, because I know that you guys were really like invested in the relationship. And if I could like pop up on the screen right now, if there was one, how many times you guys asked me this question, I would. And this is the only reason why I'm talking about it, because I don't see any value in speaking about it still. But I don't want to let you guys down. And I hate when influencers I follow have something happen and like they don't update me on the teams. So long story short, I think that people come in and out of your life at perfect times. And just because someone comes out of your life doesn't mean they can't come back into your life. And you never burn bridges with anyone. Always handle things with grace. Never argue with anyone. Never close a door on anyone unless they've inherently done something unreconcilable to you. And in friendships, I think that communication is what's key. But I won't speak about the specific situation anymore, because we are two individuals that require and want our privacy. And that is as far as I'll go. Next question is, how do you handle fallouts in friendships? And I don't know if this question was from a follower that like kind of wanted to know about that, but I have had so many fallouts in relation and friendships, and then we reconciled and we're still friends, or maybe we're not friends and it's not deep, you know? Like, I think a good sign in a person is when someone has long lasting friendships. And when I look at my life, I see so many of my forever friends. Like, I have about 5 friends that I've had forever, and that is more than enough for me. You know, like, they've been with me since I was either like early on in high school or all throughout childhood. And like, that is definitely a green flag. And that's actually how I judge myself, to be honest. I know that we should never judge, but it's true. When I look at my friendships, I'm like, if any of my forever friendships ever fell apart, I would like literally look at myself and be like, what did you do? Like, you are a disaster. Like, you are a monster. You have changed. And, you know, a couple years ago, one of my forever friendships actually fell apart. And in this particular case, I didn't feel remorse, because I had realized and accepted that we had just grown apart, you know, but it was hard for me to comprehend like why we had grown apart, you know. And it takes time to like look at yourself and say like, hey, where am I at? Like, where is this person at? Like, am I being judgmental? And as much as you shouldn't be judgmental, you should always align yourself with people who like reciprocate values and have similar values as you, and just like go about the way you want to go about life. Like, everyone has their personal preferences. As much as you should admire and love and accept differences, you should definitely have people on your team or on your side that align with you, if you know what I mean, you know? So at one point I had one of those forever friendships that had fallen apart, and I just got through it by understanding that, you know, people come and go, you know, and you're not always going to be the same person, and you're not always going to be the same version of yourself. And I, let me tell you, I have changed. I am not the same person I was 4 years ago. I'm not even the person same person I was 2 years ago. People that stick with you through all of those changes are like the real ones, you know what I mean? And this is what I'm talking, like forever friends, people that have known you forever, that I've seen you shift. As for friends that you've had for brief moments, 1 to 2 years, whatever, and you were like super close at one point and then not close all of a sudden, as to that matter, I think that those people come into your life kind of as a gift. Oh, like the person I was talking about before that everyone was asking me about, that was exactly the situation. I like an angel sent me this person and vice versa for X reasons on both sides. And I needed this person and this person needed me. And we had an amazing friendship. And I'm a big believer that the universe only sends you what you could handle and only sends you what you need. And the universe sees you and like knows what you need and want. And I got exactly that. Maybe we don't need that anymore. Maybe the universe was like, oh, time's up. You know, like you people will come and go, whether it be friendships, love relationships, romantic relationships, whatever it is, you know, mentors, you know, people will come and go through every single path of life. And I think that that is the beauty of life. And just because someone leaves your life doesn't mean that you should have bad sentiments towards them. Like, I send love to everyone who's ever been in my life and now out of my life. And I think it's actually cool that it's like, I wonder why we're out of each other's lives now. Like, and yeah, that is my tip. But I'll have a whole episode on this. Anyways, I'm going to wrap this up because I feel like it's been so long. But I want to wish you guys all a very, very happy Monday and a very, very productive week. And I hope you love this Q&A. And I'll do more once every couple of months just to keep you guys up to speed. But what really stuck with me about this conversation was the friendships part. And, you know, I feel like we're at an age where obviously friendships really matter. If you're in your 20s, like, friendships are everything. And you know, and it's so good to have friends. I used to be the type of person that I was like, I don't need friends. I hate people. I hate friends. I hate everyone. Like, I have my day ones. Like, and like, that is the most like small-minded approach you could ever have. And getting to know different people of different backgrounds and of different perspectives and having different people from different crowds in your life is so great. And I think that, you know, you have to know that the beauty of life is people coming in and out of your life at different times and courses of life. And you'll always look back and say like, hey, remember when I was in my office at 21 years old and I had someone working with me and we were best friends? Like, that's a story to tell, you know? And the story changes and it's not always the same. And that's what makes life beautiful. So yeah, with that being said, I hope you have a beautiful Monday and I will see you next time on Kayla, the podcast.